So what's the movie about? Well, it takes place a couple of months after Civil War. Okay, so Tony Stark has just made a big deal about superheroes having to be responsible. Exactly. So at the beginning of this movie, Tony leaves a weaponized spider suit with a high school student and then doesn't take his calls.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and it's equipped with a ton of crazy stuff. There's a bunch of web modes, a recon drone, glider wings, web grenades, even an instant kill mode that kind of turns on by itself. And Tony just leaves that in the hands of a teenager. Well, he left a software block on the crazier stuff. Oh, so it's impossible for Peter to access those modes. Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, well, Peter's friend Ned from high school hacks into the suit and just unblocks everything.
Oh, hacking.
They also take a tracker out so Tony and Happy can't see where he goes. So Stark Technology's like the best in the world. This Ned guy must be really smart. He's not? I mean, I guess technically he is, but we're gonna play him as really dumb.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like in the first part of the movie, he keeps loudly asking Peter super sensitive questions.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah, you'd think that would be a no-brainer for anyone, right? And he's able to hack Stark Tech. He is, so Peter has access to a bunch of functionalities.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was really fun to write, because whenever I didn't know how to solve a problem in a scene, I was like, oh, well, maybe the Stark suit has a mode to solve this.
That's smart.
Yeah, and when that didn't work, I'd just have Iron Man swoop in and save the day. People like Iron Man.
They do.
Oh, that reminds me, the suit has a Jarvis interface, so we might have to get Paul Bettany back if possible.
Oh, actually, we can't do that.
How come? Well, he's transformed into Vision now.
Oh, that's right. I can see if his wife is available.
Jennifer Connelly, yeah, perfect.
Great.
So does this movie have a villain? Because I'd like to start casting ASAP. It does. He's called the Vulture.
The Vulture. So kind of like a...
He's like a bird man.
A bird man. Okay. I can work with that. That'll help.
Awesome. So what's his deal? Well, he was hired to clean up alien debris after the invasion in the first Avengers movie.
Interesting. Tying it together.
Yeah, but then he was fired, so he became a supervillain to support his family.
Just a 180 like that.
Yeah, pretty much immediately. So he and his crew start stealing alien debris and use them to make super weapons.
Oh, you'd think the government would be keeping really close watch on that stuff.
You'd think so, but we jump forward 8 years in time and Vulture's doing great. No problems at all.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like they're not even being that secretive about it.
No.
No, they're just selling to like run-of-the-mill criminals for robberies and stuff.
Just anyone.
It seems that way. Plus, one of the guys likes to demo them in open spaces. At another point, they're literally on the news.
And nobody's looking too deeply into this.
Not really, no, but Spider-Man decides to.
Oh, he does he?
Yeah, and it's gonna lead to some pretty crazy action. Like, we're really stepping things up from the older Spider-Man movies.
I'm listening.
So you know in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, there's Peter's love interest falling from high up inside a tower?
Yeah.
Well, in this movie, we're gonna have Peter's love interest falling from high up inside a tower, except now that tower is the Washington Monument.
What's wrong?
I think that's a mistake.
It is?
Yeah, I do. I think the Washington Monument is technically an obelisk, not a tower.
Oh, but you like the idea.
Oh yeah, no, I love the idea. Love interest falling from high up, that's amazing.
Great.
And we're also gonna do the Jesus thing from Spider-Man 2.
Jesus thing?
You know when Tobey Maguire is trying to stop a train with some webs and it looks like he's gonna poop?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so basically that, but with a fairy that gets cut in half.
How does he manage to get the fairy back together?
Well, I couldn't think of a way for the suit to take care of it, so Iron Man swoops in and saves the day.
Gotcha, that's a good system.
Right? It made this so easy to write.
So what's the climax of the movie?
Oh, so Happy Hogan is having a bunch of super dangerous and valuable stuff shipped for Tony.
He does that even though there's this big bad guy flying around stealing dangerous and valuable stuff?
Yes, he does.
So I guess he's gonna have some pretty crazy security on that shipment.
No, he puts it on a plane and sets the plane to autopilot.
That's it?
Oh, it's invisible.
Does that help?
No.
How did the Vulture and his team learn so much about the plans to ship this stuff?
Oh, we're not gonna explain that.
Oh, that's a gutsy move, because some people might consider that lazy writing, but I know you're just trying to keep some mystery. I like it.
Yes, because of the mystery. That's why I did that.
And how does the movie end?
Well, Tony had taken Peter's suit away because he went after the Vulture, which was reckless.
Right.
And at the end, he offers him a new suit because he went after the Vulture, which was brave.
Okay, so Spider-Man ends the movie with an even better suit.
Actually, no, that's a pretty big moment.
Go on.
Tony offers him this amazing Iron Spider suit, but he's like, no thanks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a huge character moment.
I like that.
Right? It sends the message of like, I don't need Iron Man.
Exactly. By not taking the suit, it's like, I am my own person.
Yeah, and I think the decision to not get in the suit is really gonna define the character moving forward.
I love it.
Hello, Ryan here. Thank you so much for watching that pitch meeting. Let me know in the comments section what other movies and shows you'd like to see pitch meetings for. And keep an eye on our community tab on YouTube because we've been having votes on there, which is how this video came to be. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.